How you doing?
Good.
Busy morning, as always.
As always. I mean, it's also right before the holidays.
2 weeks ago during a mastermind event, you said something that really kind of stuck with me and I kept thinking about it. It was a question and I'm going to not do it the way you said it, but it was about like, what is the one thing you could do today that would make everything in your life easier? And I have all kinds of thoughts. I think a lot of people, when they think about that, one thing kind of comes up if it's something they need to change in their life. People usually know what it is. And 6 years ago, almost to the day, you knew what yours was. And that was to stop drinking.
Yeah.
What was that like? Can you tell me about that? I mean, I'm going to ask a lot of follow-up questions, but
yeah,
just to get started.
So just to start, that idea of like, what is the one thing that if you did, everything else would become easier. We did that exercise a couple of years ago with Aaron down at a Freedom Builders event. And the way that we framed it was we looked at different categories of life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, business, all of that kind of stuff. So one of the things that I looked at when I started to come up with those things categorically was that one stood out as something that I had done in the past that made everything easier, right? I grew up in a household.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear your history with drinking.
Yeah. So like I grew up in a household that like drinking wasn't sort of a huge part of like, I think my parents drank, but like neither of them drank like crazy. My uncle drank. I hung out with him a lot. I worked with him in the summer, my freshman year. But I think I got really into drinking in college. It mm-hmm. was just the group of guys that I hung around with. That was what we did to socialize.
Okay. So high school, it was just like trying it out, but you weren't drinking.
I never went intentionally to drink in high school.
Okay.
So it was like, if we would go to a party, I would probably have some drinks. I definitely got drunk. You know, I had a girlfriend at the time. We would party and stuff like that, but it wasn't the main event.
Okay.
And then in college, it was the main event, or it was surrounded by everything. And it was very socially acceptable to just go and get blackout drunk, and mm-hmm. everybody did it. And we had a blast in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember a lot of it in hindsight, but we, you know, when we'd go skiing, we'd drink and we would party. And that was just the sort of the scene that I sort of chose to surround myself with. Mm-hmm. And it was easier to just be part of that than not be part of it. And at the time, I don't know that I was emotionally or mentally capable of going against the grain. So if everybody was doing it, I was going to do it. I was very much a follower. I didn't want to sort of stick out. So if everybody was going in one direction, that was the direction that I would go. So then, again, great friendships after college and in my 20s. I mean, all of us just continued to do the same thing. We all got jobs and we were all really responsible. We had good jobs and we made good careers. But before kids, all we did was... You know, we'd get together Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A bunch of people lived in Boston. We lived in Providence for a couple of years. People would come and they'd party for 2-3 days in a row. And
what would you drink? Everything? Beer, liquor?
I think later on when I got some money and, you know, I got married and I had kids and stuff like that. I mean, I drank scotch and Budweiser. I was a Budweiser guy back in the day. Like I smoked Winston's cigarettes.
Okay.
Like because of NASCAR when I was
I see like a pattern with you. Like you saw something and you said, that makes sense to me. I'm going to do that.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, like Dale Earnhardt Jr. was my favorite NASCAR driver and he was sponsored by Budweiser.
Side note,
I was a religious Budweiser drinker.
Did you know Bill Elliott is from my hometown.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Were you into NASCAR at one point?
Yes.
Back in the good old days of NASCAR.
Yeah.
That was an amazing scene. We used to go up to Loudon a couple of times a year for the races up
when
in New Hampshire.
Bill Elliott would win, they would blow the tornado sirens in town.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Bill and Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
Okay. So
if they're watching.
Yeah. So it's just I totally get it. It was just part of, it wasn't like you were seeking drinking, but it was just part of your your lifestyle, kind of.
Yeah. And then I'm a very habitual person. So once I do something one time, if I believe that it's something that I enjoy doing or like mm-hmm. doing, then I'll just continue to do it.
Yes. Yeah. I want to talk about habits too.
Yeah. I'm a very, if I believe something to be true, I will go 100% in that direction. And so, it wasn't ever an intentional thing like I'm going to be a drinker. And it never got to the point where, because I was always like, even if I got really drunk, I was never a violent drunk. I was never like a fight people kind of person. I was never like, very occasionally I would do embarrassing shit, but it would like be, it was much
like normal.
It was just normal.
So yeah. You seem like you didn't have a problem. You weren't seeking it out. You weren't probably after college binge drinking anymore. Or maybe you were.
No, I was.
You were.
Oh yeah, for sure. Through my 20s, I definitely drank way too much. But again, it never, because I didn't have a problem, like I could not drink if it was an occasion that I shouldn't drink, or I could stop drinking. Like I could go to the bar and drive home and I could have an appropriate amount of alcohol to drive home.
You could go 2 weeks without it.
I would set these things where I would do a month of not drinking, and I could very easily do a month of not drinking.
Okay. A lot of people do that.
The problem for me is the mental energy it took, because I think that, and this is sort of what I've learned about myself, is that naturally my body tells me what my mind can't articulate to myself. Mm. So
that's right. Your gut feeling.
My gut feeling, right? And my mind will try to play tricks on me to continue to make me do habitual things, because that's the way that I did it. And so I will justify it with my thoughts versus listening to my gut. I think naturally I knew that alcohol took up more of my time and my mental energy than I wanted it to have. But I never had I could do things like I could quit drinking for a certain period of time. But as soon as I started back drinking, it was just like it would get right back into a habitual nature of what I did before. I could go to the bar and not drink, or I could go to the bar and have three drinks. Mm-hmm. But I would think about the first one, and then I'd be drinking about the first one, thinking about the second one.
Yes.
And then spacing it out. And I'd say, okay, well, I'm going to be here for 4 hours. And then I'm going to, you know, so it's safe to have three drinks over 4 hours. Cause, you know, at that point, like beer would do a hell of a lot for me. I could have a 6 or 12 pack without batting an eye.
Yeah.
But again, like I wasn't present in the moment. I was going back and forth between being present and then thinking about like, where's the waitress? Okay, I've got a half an hour before I can have another drink and all that kind of stuff. So it was always in my constant thought. And like I would come home after a long day and I would walk into our like butler's pantry and I would pour myself a glass of scotch. And I think, you know, I heard somebody say the other day that like the act of having that first drink, and everybody knows this, like they have a drink and they, you know, they sit down in the chair and they take a sip of scotch and I just go,
yes, I know, the first sip.
Right? Like that first sip was like, it was so enjoyable. And then you would chase that same feeling for either the rest of that drinking experience or the next drink, or you'd wait for that next time, the next day or the next time. And there was always an excuse to drink.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, I mean, as a mom, I play that game with myself. Like, okay, I'm not going to drink during the week. And then on a Thursday night or even a Tuesday night, I have a hell of a day. And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And I'm like, I'm just going to have half a glass just because I just want to be relaxed. And I'm so wound tight. And so then you start playing that game with yourself. And then like, why did I do that? Why did I have that?
You wake up the next day and then you say to yourself, well, I should have had more control in that situation. And then,
yeah. And so it's constantly like, you're constantly having a conversation with yourself about it.
So I went to, on December 17th of 2018, I went to a CrossFit and I was very into CrossFit. That's where I met your husband.
Yes.
And we had like a Christmas party that day. And I went and I was sort of hungover because it was on a Sunday. I was sort of hungover on Saturday because I drank on Saturday. I don't even remember what it was, but I was sort of hungover and I was like, I'm not going to drink. And then I got there and I had like 3 beers and 3 shots.
Really?
Yeah. And then I got home and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And at that moment, things happened for a reason. I was scrolling Facebook or whatever it was at the time. And my cousin, who's like a brother to me, who lives up in Maine, his wife had posted an article about like somebody quitting drinking or their experience with drinking. And I read the article, and in the article, and I don't even remember if it was a woman or a man, but they had mentioned the book that they had read that had an impact on them. And it was a book by Annie Grace, and the book was A Naked Mind. So immediately I just went on, I ordered the book. I just said, hey, listen, I'm gonna read the book. And I read the book in like 3 or 4 days. It was a non-judgmental look on alcohol in our society. And one of the things that I remember very vividly is that it is the only sort of substance that you have to justify as an individual when you don't do. Mm-hmm. So you go to a party and somebody says, do you want to drink? And you say, oh, no, I don't drink. The person will go, oh, my gosh, do you have a problem with drinking?
I know.
Right? It's not like as if somebody lines up, you know, 3 lines of Coke and then you go to the party and somebody's like, you want some Coke? And you're like, no. And you're like, do you have a problem with cocaine? Like that doesn't happen, right? But then they start going, all right, well, if you're stressed, you drink. If you celebrate, you drink. If you're sad, you drink. If you're at a sporting event, you drink. If you're at a holiday party, you drink. If you're like, you give it as a gift, mommy's wine time, right? Like, and then I started to reflect on the fact that like I would be around the pool and I would finish a Budweiser. I'd be floating around the pool. My 3-year-old at the time, Belle, would like see that I was done. She wouldn't even ask me. She'd grab the empty one, run to our pool house, grab me a new beer and bring it back. And she used to mix like in red Solo cups on the edge of the pool. She used to do cocktails. Mm. And at the time I thought it was like sort of cute. It was like, oh, look at her. She's like pretending to be us. But then I recognized the pattern of we're essentially forming her idea of what alcohol is at a very, very early age.
To pause too, like just to, I want to get back to what you were saying, but it's about the children, like a child. I heard recently that the average age of a first trying alcohol is now 11, mm-hmm. which means that it's younger than 11 because that's the average. And that if you don't actually have alcohol or habitually start to have it before the age of 21, that you have like a 90% chance of not having an issue with alcohol. If you make it to 21 without creating it as part of your life experience.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Like it does matter if you introduce these things at a young age.
Well, but I think more.
But that's just like an interject. Like it's wild that you saw that and you didn't like it. And you knew, you kind of didn't know why, but you knew this isn't a pattern I want to continue with.
Two things. Number one is that I think that I was always much better at sort of sticking to goals if they were to impact other people.
Mm, that's true. Right? That's true, like, about you. Yes.
I will do something if it is beneficial for somebody else, or if I'm trying to illustrate or prove a point or do something where other people are watching. And that, I don't think that that's sustainable long term, because you're not inherently doing what's authentic for you. You're just trying to prove it for somebody else. But historically, that's what I had done, right? Mm-hmm. Like even with fitness, like I was massively concerned what other people thought of me. So I knew that I had control over how much I worked out and how much I could lift and the body type that I wanted to be. And so I strived to do that for other people, right? But I never did it particularly because I enjoyed it. It was always the perception. I wanted the significance from other people noticing it.
Okay.
Right. So I think I used her, but I had used her as an excuse for other things, right?
You probably used her as an excuse to drink.
To drink.
Because you're stressed. And then you flipped it and you said, actually, I'm going to use you as an excuse not to.
So I read Annie Grace's book. And for anybody that's sort of on the fence about their relationship with alcohol, and that's where I believe, you know, AA is great for certain people. But I also think that alcoholism and the stigma behind alcoholism is sometimes problematic, because for people to mentally sort of overcome the idea that to quit drinking or to say that you have a problem with alcohol means you're an alcoholic, I think that that's really hard for some people to make that distinction. And I think Annie Grace does a great job sort of explaining the the difference between that, or her perception of what it is. And the way that I always look, the way that I look at it now is what my relationship with alcohol was and is now. If you look at it from that standpoint, you can start to, you can put yourself on your own side and alcohol is over there. It's not like I am an alcoholic. Alcoholic is always with me, all of that kind of stuff. So you can almost objectively look at it, or at least that's the way that I did.
And a lot of times when you do kind of like hold it out in front of you and put it on the table, maybe it like it loses its power.
You're a neutral observer of it. And I think that it allowed me to sort of get away from the relationship that I had with alcohol for a minute to recognize what it was to me. Mm-hmm. And then I, through her book, you look at what the alcohol industry has done, and even their partnerships with drivers in NASCAR, right? Like there's a reason that it's not called the Winston Cup anymore. Like I used to go to NASCAR events and they'd give me a carton of free cigarettes. Like a guy who's drunk gets a carton of free cigarettes from Winston, it's going to create a relationship with that company. And I think that that happens all the time. You look at sponsorships all the time. Yeah. Like it is a harmful product to most people. And again, there's lots of people that have no issue having a drink. Like I would go to the restaurant with Colleen and we'd sit down and we'd have a drink, and she's always been somebody that can have some alcohol every once in a while. She gets a little tipsy, but like, and not even anymore, but like we would have dinner and we'd be finishing up with dinner and I'd have two or three cocktails and she'd have a glass of wine, but you know, a third of it or half of it was left and we'd be finishing up and we'd start to stand up and I'm like, well, why? Are you going to drink the rest of that?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't really want it. Like that was sacrilegious to me. Like I couldn't understand how you wouldn't finish the alcohol that was in front of you.
And so, yeah. So like what made you stop?
That book. Because I think what it did was it illustrated to me what I have a real problem with institutions like sort of doing things underhandedly.
Oh, yeah.
Like I feel like this is an intentional thing to – like the alcohol industry and society in general, like I think it's just something that like it's very calculated how they get people hooked on alcohol and people's relationships with alcohol. And then all of a sudden they're benefiting like crazy. And I think I recognized that and that like pissed me off.
Yes.
And so you start to step away from it. And what I recognized, and I just said, hey, listen, I'm not going to drink through the holidays. I'd go to my in-laws' house on Christmas Eve. I'd host and I'd get drunk. And then I'd go to my in-laws on Christmas Day and I'd get drunk. And then, you know, I wouldn't work as much over the Christmas holiday. So I'd drink more then. And then all of a sudden I'm like exhausted and tired. And you get to the end of the holidays and you're like, what the hell did I just do? And I just didn't feel like, I felt like I wanted a break from that. And it wasn't a decision that I was like, I'm never going to drink again. It was like, I want to break from that. And then going into the new year was a great excuse for me to just go, all right, well, I'll take January off. And both to myself, but also to the people that were surrounding me, it was easy to just say, hey, listen, I'm going to take, you know, dry January, mm-hmm. right? I think that that's socially, it's acceptable now for people to go, oh, okay, that's good. That's healthy. Get away from alcohol for 1 month, but make sure to come back to us.
Yeah.
Come back to us for the other 11 months, because removing alcohol from your life when it comes to the relationships that you have with other people, I think it shines a mirror on the other person that's very hard for them to see. So for instance, if I'm around my friends who drink and I make the conscious decision not to drink, it illustrates it's easier for them to ignore perhaps what they feel about their relationship with alcohol if
you're doing it,
if I'm doing it too. It like it magnifies the issue if I'm sitting there not drinking and they are
maintaining control.
Yeah. And so for me, I didn't feel like dealing with that. So, you know, it was like, all right, well, I'm just not going to drink for dry January. And then I didn't get a whole lot of kickback from friends and family and that sort of thing. And then it was like, well, you know what? I felt really good. So I'm not going to do it for, you know, for the first quarter of the year. This is what I sort of said to other people, and maybe I was just reinforcing it with myself too. But then, okay, well, you know, 90 days without it. And then what I started to recognize is that power that alcohol had over like my thoughts started to go away. Like I would come home and I didn't have to make the decision about whether or not to have a drink. Mm-hmm. I could go to the bar and I didn't have to make a decision about whether I was driving or not going to drive.
You weren't rearranging your schedule around it.
Like the mental
shifting meetings
energy that I released by just letting go of that was, mm-hmm. to me, it was massive. Mm-hmm. And so you start to recognize all of these things. And then, you know, 3 months was 6 months and 6 months was a year. And then a year was 2 years.
So you talk a lot about habits and you're a very habitual person. When did it become a habit for you to not? And what did you replace it with? I'm a big, like, if I need to remove a habit, I have to replace it with something else.
So this is where, like, again, there's a couple of things. And like, I'm not sitting here telling people what to do or what is perfect for anybody.
This was just your, if I do this thing, it will make everything in my life easier. And it literally did. And this is just your thing.
Right.
So, and it also is relevant because a lot of people evaluate their relationship with drinking around the holidays and in January, starting a new year. Sober curious is a new thing.
I feel like the sober industry is gaining momentum. I mean, even if you look at when I quit drinking 6 years ago, like there was one non-alcoholic beer. It was like there was a Coors product, mm-hmm. that like literally was the only non-alcoholic beer that I could find. Mm-hmm. And now there's like every company
kinds
has
of elixirs, yep, all sorts of shit. Wine.
And that's not because the alcohol industry wants to help people stop drinking. It's because they recognize that there is an opportunity. And so in no uncertain terms, it's not because they want to help people get off alcohol. It's because they want to maintain their market share. And so...
And you feel like, okay, and it's shifting towards sober.
For me, getting... Like, it was not hard for me to quit drinking. Like, I know that that sounds counterintuitive to whatever. As soon as I made that decision and read that book, like, I had no desire to drink. Okay. And I still to this day have no desire to drink. I never battled. The battle for me was acceptance with my friends and the conversations that I had to continually have with other people. So it's like, oh, you're not drinking. Can you still drink? And
that book helped you, equipped you with how to answer that.
Yeah, it did. But like that, those conversations still weren't easy, especially for somebody that was still battling. And I'm, you know, again, I'm much more in touch with who I am now than I was then. Oh, I still at that point wasn't really confident enough to say, like, this is my decision. This is what's best for me. This is why I'm doing it. Like, it was always like a playful thing. Like, yeah, I just feel better when I'm not drinking. And, you know, like I wasn't definitive about it. And so the people that were in my life that it was shining a sort of mirror on, you know, again, their effort was to sort of have everybody go in a collective direction. And so the more difficult part was, when you pull back from drinking, you recognize the environments where the only commonality is the alcohol and the drinking. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that you're involved in those activities is, mm-hmm. because of the alcohol and the, mm-hmm. drinking. And they start to lose the appeal, mm-hmm. once you remove alcohol from them. So you almost, there is something that happens where you might lose relationships or friendships or lose interest in doing activities that you once thought were at the core of who you are, mm-hmm. right? Like watching football games on a Sunday, yeah. for like 8 hours in a row. It sounds cool when you're drinking and you're laughing and you're buzzed and all that kind of stuff. But to sit around with a bunch of people who are drunk on a Sunday for 8 hours and you're not drinking, that all of a sudden, it's just like, that's not as appealing. And so it was more difficult to lose the desire to be around people who are drinking and find new things that sort of light me up and things that I want to be around.
But they did come.
Yeah, they did. And I think that event at that point, you know, it gave me probably 15, 20 non-hungover days back. It gave me all of the mental energy for me to focus elsewhere. And I think that the reason that I was able to sort of make as much progress as I have on like the spiritual and emotional side over the past 4 or 5 years, as soon as I met Aaron, I think that that was a direct result of having the mental energy to be able to evaluate those opportunities and what it meant for me. And had I been drinking, I would have been spending all of my mental energy on that.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you use that as, or at least I did, I'm not sure about everybody else, but I used alcohol as a way to sort of ignore what I naturally knew. So like my gut and my heart are telling me things and my brain tells me to drink, and then the drinks dull that and it feels like it just pushes it off.
Yeah.
And you can do that over and over and over again. Yeah. And so you're almost forced to face difficult things and difficult decisions and, you know, hold a mirror up to yourself because you can't put alcohol in the middle of the mirror.
Absolutely.
To dull everything out. And so I think it was more, I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want to drink when I was drinking. Once I got away from it, it allowed me to work through all of those things that I think that's when I had the, that's when I was able to make a lot of improvements in just me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have any like last like advice to people that are considering it? And obviously they can all reach out to you if they, if anybody wants to talk about it more and just like your journey and maybe talking, sharing theirs, but what's your like first step advice?
You don't have to make a life decision right now. Like if you're considering getting off of alcohol, if somebody had said to me earlier in December of 2018, like, here's all the reasons why you should quit drinking. Like it's an overwhelming thought to give up on something. So the way that I was able to mentally sort of start the process was, I'm not making a decision that I'm never going to drink again. Like when I initially quit drinking,
I see a lot of people do it that way.
Like just, I'm going to stop for a little while and see how it feels and then be very conscious in the moment and notice how you feel different. And then fill it with the evidence. Again, that book, like I don't.
Yeah, I'll definitely plug it in the description.
In no uncertain terms, without Annie Grace's book, A Naked Mind. And I've probably bought 15 or 20 copies for other people. Mm-hmm. Not me preaching, but when I share this story, if it resonates with people, I want them to be able to hear this, be able to experience what I experienced personally. In no uncertain terms, that was what was able to make me, to set me on this path.
I love that.
Yeah. And so I would just, like, you don't have to, you're not necessarily an alcoholic. It might just be the relationship that you have with alcohol. And
it's just like taking up too much time in your life.
If you choose to change the relationship that you have with it, regardless of what it is.
And how different that becomes, like less certain times. Yeah, you really take a hard look at it.
And for me, just so everybody knows, like it for me mentally, I don't believe, and this is, you know, my buddies still today, like they'll be like, well, what about just like a beer? Do you think you, and I'm very sure that I could have alcohol in my life and have it not be the same thing that it was before. But for me, it's not. I don't have any desire to do it. It's not, the risk for me is not worth it. And not that I think that I would have a problem with alcohol, but the risk of losing the mental energy.
Yeah. And everything you're headed towards.
It doesn't make sense for me to spend any of my life energy on deciding whether or not alcohol at the moment that I'm deciding it is worth having it or not having it. And so for just my own personal decision, it was just easier that way.
I love it. Yeah. It's great. It's very inspiring. And thank you for being so vulnerable and honest. And I definitely want to continue these conversations and talk about other things that you've changed in your life that have just like completely, because every year you must ask yourself that question, like, how do I get better? What's the one thing I can do this year that will change the rest of my life or make everything else in my life easier? We do have to stop. And just thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was a great chat. And if anybody has any follow-up questions or just wants to reach out.
Yeah, throw it in the comments, because I think that what was really true for me is that this all started, or at least the idea started, because somebody was willing to post something online and then people were willing to comment and ask questions. So I get the need for privacy in order for a lot of people to feel comfortable, but you'll be shocked. Like I don't believe that I've ever made a post about not drinking, but I almost guarantee you that if I made a post that said, hey, listen, I'm 6 years alcohol free. Mm-hmm. Like I almost guarantee you it would be one of the best and most liked posts and most commented posts. And there'd be a lot of people that would also share their story with alcohol and their removal of alcohol from their lives. I've seen it happen to other people. There is a much bigger community out there that feels the way that you do. And I think that if people were willing to share their vulnerability with the generalized community, I think you would see a lot of people raise their hand and be like, yeah, man, I feel the same way.
It's empowering.
Yep. And so like, comment, but if you feel like a private conversation makes sense, like, that is, I will make time for anybody that wants to have a conversation about their relationship with alcohol and get more information on sort of like the resources that I've used. So feel free to reach out. If I can do anything to help you with your relationship with alcohol, let me know.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks.